Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Cheers.
Happy, happy hour.
Happy, happy hour.
Oh my God, you guys, it's not only Survivor Zeke Smith, it's superstars Nico Santos. We got a double, you know why? Because they're dating. The paparazzi just caught them. Oh my God, angels are centerfolds. Check it out. Oh my God, new couple alert. Where's this from? This is fantastic.
Us Weekly, I believe.
Us Weekly. Celebrities, they're just like us. New couple alert, superstar. Yes, give me some, God damn it, some goddamn fucking freeze frame. Superstar, superstore star Nick Santos revealed he is dating Survivor Zeke Smith. They posted a sweet snapshot at LA Pride. What? All right, we'll get it. We're here, we're queer, we're bunching. I have to find out what that is.
Brunching.
Did they mean brunching, or was that autocorrect?
That's what I posted. We're here, we're queer, we're brunching.
They just typed it wrong. Us Weekly, Journalism Standards.
We're bunching, is that what bunching?
I was like, what's bunching?
We're
is bunching. That a gay thing?
We're brunching.
It's a little gay
situation. We never bunch, but we always brunch.
Brunching. You went to the Broadway production of SpongeBob SquarePants, so if you're going to be caught dead there together, you are obviously a couple.
SpongeBob,
congratulations.
I've heard it's really good.
It was amazing.
Very
it was
good.
Amazing. I will go see it again. It's so good.
This is so... You're right. This is the first intentional couple we've had on.
Right. First couple we booked.
Yes.
Well, I booked Zeke, and I was like, hey, do you want to bring your boyfriend?
Bring your, you know...
Since you're public about this now.
Bring your hot, equally talented boyfriend. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, my God. By the way, I've already made a song reference that is way too old, and they didn't get it.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
It was about Billy Joe McAllister and... Tallahatchie Brit. All right, listen, motherfuckers, stem cells, let me explain something.
I prefer zygote.
I am too traumatized by our first reality show president, so I did not watch a lot of Survivor, though I did watch your stuff, and it was fantastic and groundbreaking, because there was a reason for it, as well as just being reality show.
Sure.
You're like the anti-Donald Trump. You're like a reality show hero for a good reason. And not for evil. You used your superpowers for good.
Well, sure. I mean, that was not my intention. If you watched, like, more of my time on Survivor, I don't think you would necessarily think I'm an awesome guy. I was known for, like, befriending people and having touching moments and then, like, voting them out and stabbing them back and et cetera, et cetera. I just happened, like, my biggest moment just happened to, like...
My mom loved you on the show.
So,
for people who don't know, you were outed as trans on Survivor, which is a pretty huge fucking audience to be outed in front of.
Yeah, it was. It made global headlines.
Yeah.
It was, like, the thing. I was on, like, the side of Facebook, like, that the news alerts. And
things you might want to know about.
Trending. Yeah. I was, like, the news that day. Yeah. Which was, I mean, obviously, I was outed, so it's not like I was publicly talking about being trans. I kind of consider that private information. And then it sort of became very public information. And I went from being someone for whom, like, that I was trans was only known by a small handful of people and, like, the people I fucked, to being, like, I was the guy now. I was, like, I'm, like, one of the most visible transgender men in the world.
Right.
Which I did two seasons of a reality show, so that doesn't speak highly to visibility of trans men. But it was like, yeah, now I had to go figure out how to occupy this position.
Well, I loved what you said, though. You were talking about when you did a search, I think is what you said. It was all tragedy.
Yeah.
You said, you just said, upon returning home, I Googled trans outing. The search results were all stories of trans people who had been outed and killed themselves. Either were killed or committed suicide. You said such bleak scenes are rather familiar for trans people. You said before you went with Fiji, host Jeff Probst and I committed ourselves to not allowing what happened to me to be remembered as a tragedy nor as a victim. I resolved I would change the search result. I would write a new narrative. I would be a trans story with a happy ending. And I can't even imagine how many lives you've saved just with that.
I don't know about saving lives. I think that's a big step. But I think it's, you know, it's odd to go from like the guy I was before I went on Survivor, which was this like schlubby comedian who was doing improv in multi basements in New York and like making
is horrifyingly embarrassing, and I applaud you for admitting that.
Well, right. I mean, I was actively doing bad in the world, I suppose you could say. And then I got like put in this position where like
I used to do improv. I was with the LA Connection. You were with
UCB,
Upright Citizens Brigade. But yes. I love what they always said: like improv, if it works, you're a genius. If it doesn't, you're a fucking asshole. Don't you think?
Yeah, because of comedy, yeah.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so true. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't really like want to be a role model, nor did I want to be afterwards. This just sort of got thrust upon me.
Right.
But I think like you find yourself in this position and you want, like, I'm a bit of like an overachieving nerd. And so it's not like I necessarily wanted to like be like the guy who represents trans men. I just got put in this position and then I wanted to do well.
Yeah.
And I was like surrounded by a lot of awesome people who were encouraging. At the top of that list was Jeff Probst, who taught me to believe in myself.
Yeah, I know Jeff. Yeah.
Jeff's a fantastic human
being.
He's
a good guy.
I look up to him. There's this dude, Nick Adams at GLAAD, who is also a gay trans guy, who is sort of responsible for all of like the positive changes we've seen in Hollywood with regards to trans people. He trains all the trans people how to talk to the media and craft narratives and works with studios and networks how to like better portray trans people. I mean, of course, something slipped through the cracks, as we're seeing with this Scarlett Johansson fiasco.
You probably want to hear that story. So she's up for a role.
Listen, if Rachel Maddow didn't say it, I don't know. So tell mommy what happened.
Celebrities are not her strong suit.
Scarlett Johansson has announced that she is going to star in a new movie and she's going to portray a trans man.
Wow.
And this after the fact that she got shit for
portraying
an Asian person.
Yeah,
Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah,
I guess she just
creepier as a
didn't
fucking,
learn
as
her
a fucking what was she a voice? Whoever
her
fucked River Phoenix. What is that?
Her.
Yes, her. Yeah, very disturbing. Don't fuck with me, Siri. Someone who's been fucked with by Siri emotionally, that I feel more horrifying.
Scarlett,
don't use your sexy voice to lure us lonely people. All right, listen. Let's go, Zeke, back to you. So wait, you said I've traveled extensively, I've met thousands of Survivor fans, I've become an expert at taking selfies, dodged makeout attempts from drunk ladies at Graceland. That's going to happen by the end of this, by the way.
Well, you know, I've got my boyfriend.
I don't care.
I'm about to cut somebody.
I'm a homewrecker and a whore.
She stuck her tongue in my boyfriend's ear.
I did. He liked it.
No.
Welcome to the adventures of gentlemen's and gay bars across America, but my favorite Survivor fan interactions are those in my homeland of Oklahoma, where at 18 I was chased out with torches and pitchforks. Now I return a bit of a favorite son. I also take pictures with children in Bible school t-shirts. And of course, the first thing that came to mind for me was Matthew Shepard, who's, I know, Wyoming, but same thing, right? I mean,
yeah, same hostile Bible Belt middle of the country type.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like, you know, my childhood, everyone was so hostile to me. Growing up, I mean, I didn't know what being trans was until I was 18 and like living in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So I was just sort of this like very masculine, bro-y little kid who was very much not supposed to be masculine and bro-y.
Yeah.
And everyone was like hated me. I was just despised. I mean, I was an awesome in return, right?
Right.
But I was like, there is no place for me in Oklahoma. Like, I didn't. Once I, like, started transitioning, I didn't go back there. We didn't tell anybody. Like, we kept everything very quiet.
Here's progress, I think, in 2018, is you have an awesome beard, and by that I don't mean a wife. Look at
I can't grow that good of a beard.
No, you can't. Yeah, like, hairless fucking otter.
Beard?
Yeah. No, I mean it's, but I that has to be.
No,
really.
It was wild. I went back. I have a friend who used to play on the University of Oklahoma football team, and I'm like a big, big Sooner fan. And he took me back for a game, and like we went down on the sidelines, and I got to meet everybody, and everyone was like players and coaches and administrators of the university taking pictures with me, excited to meet me, and I was like. I love Oklahoma football so much. I never thought I was going to get to go to a game again.
Well, that you can get executed for, right? Being an Oklahoma football fan. Right?
Oh, exactly. I'm
trans. Whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, I kind of never thought I was going to get to like be part of my hometown again.
Yeah.
And like, I can be, and they know everything, and they still don't care. It's very interesting how like. A little bit of fame transcends all the hate.
Well, isn't that interesting? But you had an amazing platform because I thought it was interesting. I'm reading a bunch of articles, but why Survivor Zeke Smith wanted CBS to air the moment he got outed, because you did have a choice. Like, you could have said, don't air this, I don't, right? I mean, when it happened, it's that handful of people. Airing it is like, okay, now millions of people, right?
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, I had a choice. I never really thought about it like that. I think Survivor... It's so real. You starve and you sleep in the dirt and you make friendships and you betray people. And it is a very real thing that happens to you. And when that happened, and when I got through the night pretty unscathed, and there was like all these amazing supportive people, I did okay. I think everybody marched away that night thinking, well, we have a moment that like we have the chance to educate people and maybe change some hearts and minds.
Yeah.
So for me, I never doubted that it was going to air. The shift in my mind just became... All right, how do we prepare for my, like, how do I prepare for my life to be radically changed, and how do I measure up to this moment?
You talked about why being vulnerable was worth the risk. Do you still have your willy? I mean, I wanted to know, a talk show host giggled, referring to Caitlyn Jenner on April 11th, the day before, quote-unquote, the episode. The audience laughed. My heart sank. In 12 hours, I'd be discussing my life's most exposing moment on a talk show. I knew my bathing suit area would be top of mind.
Yeah, I actually was going to be on that exact same talk show. That's why I was watching the talk show.
Yeah.
It's the talk on CBS.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I was watching it for like...
We just had Aisha Tyler on a few weeks ago, my good friend. Yeah.
Yeah. She's great.
Yeah.
I don't think she was on the day I was on.
Okay. Yeah, she I'm trying to think if she was on before you left or no.
I don't think
yeah, she, because she left the show eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, there was like a not sensitive, not supportive conversation about Caitlyn Jenner's genitals happening the day before I was going to go like... Beyond, and I think for me, the scary part was I went from being a person who was trans but not publicly trans to being like, well, what is the shift in the way people are going to talk about me and my privacy and like sort of my dignity? How's it going to change when I am a publicly trans person? Because this is how trans people are talked about so cavalierly, like in the public eye, in the media. And you're like, fuck, is that going to happen to me now?
Well, listen, we've had Julie Goldman on the show.
I love Julie Goldman.
Who is fantastic. Right. Who I found myself wildly attracted to. But
sure.
I get it.
But I get, like, because I'm a liberal, but I'm like a little fucking Catholic school girl from Buffalo, and I live in my basement. And I was like, asking all those questions. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, can I ask you embarrassing questions? Because I feel like that may be part of it, is people are just sort of, what it feels intrusive may just be curiosity that is not ill-intentioned in some cases.
Totally.
Right?
And I think for the most part it is. I am often the first trans person many people have met, and that was particularly true when I was transitioning 10 years ago. So I transitioned like a year before Chaz Bono hit the scene.
Yeah.
So I was really the first trans guy anyone I'd ever heard of.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm a novelty, and people are like invasively curious because they're like, because it's tabloidy, or sometimes people are generally trying to understand. But I think I am not like, for me, I'm your novelty, but you like wanting to know about my life, that's not a novelty for me.
Right.
And it got, when I was transitioning, I was constantly put in a position where I had to educate. So my whole life became like explaining and justifying my existence to other people, which is not fun.
Right.
And I think that, like, now I'm in a position where I've sort of, like, said, like, okay, all right, great. I will be the one who answers some questions. We'll write some articles. I'll write a book. Like, well, I want to give more insight.
How often have you heard, do you still have your thing? Like,
people don't. Just,
there is, I think, the obsessive focus on your genitals, like, from the other trans people I know is the thing that's...
Yeah. I think I actually have not... So that article you were reading from, like, why being vulnerable is worth the risk... The takeaway from that article is that, like, I kind of came through it unscathed. Like,
right.
I got tons and tons and tons of support. I would say, like, 3% of the like, social media backlash was negative. Everyone was super supportive. Christians, Midwestern moms, like, everyone has been awesome. And I've never been asked, like, a Jenny question. I mean, maybe someone will, like...
Isn't that, like, I mean, to me, progress... Because you think, like, maybe people hadn't been exposed to this in such a wide scale as the kind of numbers that Survivor has. Because, I mean, you know, in the wake of your outing, you combined with Survivor, CBS, GLAAD. Time magazine said Zeke Smith made a huge impact, educated many viewers that traditional activists cannot reach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. No one else would get that wide an audience, right? To be able to just go, oh, he's just like you, me and you. Like, he's that, you know... funny smart guy I like on Survivor.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think one, people watched me for almost an entire year kind of like grow and change and be like goofy Zeke on Survivor before they knew that I was trans. Right. So like I didn't lead as like being like the trans person, which I think often turns off people's minds. They're like, oh well, I like Zeke and this doesn't really change anything for me. I think the other part too is they say that, like, the most effective form of LGBT activism is when a person, like, meets a gay, lesbian, bi, trans person. But they're, you know, trans people are, like, projected to be between, like, 0.6 and 1.4% of the population, whereas we say, like, gay people are 10% of the population.
Yeah.
So we haven't had the chance to, like, be met in person and change hearts and minds. Like,
yeah. The biggest predicator in gay rights, why it's moved so much more quickly, is because people know somebody.
Right.
Like, oh, it's my cousin, neighbor, doctor, somebody.
Yeah. And what reality television allowed, I think, me to do was, like, be the trans person that people know. Right.
Here's what does make you unrelatable is you went to Harvard.
Yes.
With a degree in religion? Really? I mean, this is the weirdest. This is, but you studies focused on biblical interpretation and LGBT inclusive theology.
Yes.
Which, I think there needs to be more of a emphasis on where you go, Jesus never fucking mentioned homosexuality. Like, a lot of biblical scholars don't think Sodom and Gomorrah was about homosexuality. They think it was about promiscuity.
Yeah, promiscuity or about hospitality. that people were being rude, right?
Rudeness.
Rudeness. Please. Yeah, Christianity is such it's a difficult topic it's a frustrating topic for someone who I go in and out of believing in God and sort of being religious. I almost became an Episcopal priest, but no, I
did 12 years hard time Catholic school.
Oh, yeah.
15 years in the Philippines.
Oh, in the Philippines.
15 years of private Catholic school in the Philippines.
That's serious.
I'm going to get to you. I have a whole you stack in a second. I'm going to make another old person joke you're not going to get, and that's about trying to steal Imelda Marcos' shoes, but that's for later.
I think he would know that.
Oh, you did that joke? Okay, good.
Yeah. He's from the Philippines.
They were still in power before I left.
All right, I thought that was going to be a Billy Joel McAllister joke. People are going to be like, Grandma, what the fuck, man?
Knock off stuff.
Get out of your house. Jesus. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, well, because I think that, like, the evangelicals have sort of staked a claim onto what Christianity is. And I think they're the furthest ones from who have, like, a grasp on what Jesus was trying to teach the world. But there are still so many people who are Christians.
When did
Jesus
say, put baby jails? Didn't he say that?
Right. Oh, yeah. Baby jails. He said, you know, find foreigners who are fleeing persecution and further dehumanize them. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said.
I remember that. Yeah. And I don't even have a fancy Harvard religion degree.
We don't pay attention to Leviticuses.
In your youth, you dabbled in musical theater. That's hard to recover from.
It was great preparation for ultimately ending up as a gay man.
No, I love that. It says, as he ventures towards 30, he gets his performance kick telling sordid tales from his love life. Well, now they're not sordid. Now they're all...
I know.
Too I'm happy. All, your act is blown.
I know, right? I'm no longer like the wild man that I used to be. I've been tame.
How long has this been going on?
Like 3 months?
Wow. Wow. What is that in the gay trans world? Like, that's...
I don't know what trans world,
like
but gay world.
Like a 50-year-old.
I was calling Dylan my boyfriend at 3 months.
I know you were. No, wait. Born and raised Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Currently, obviously, resides here in L.A., where you're tremendously disappointed in the food.
Though it's gotten better.
Who can blame you?
I wrote that. That's on my website.
Fucking
I wrote
sucks.
That before we got together. And I have
shown him that L.A. is a great food city.
Yes. You've opened my eyes.
Yeah, the Filipinos are hoarding all the good food in L.A., just in case you're wondering. So wait. So now, for those people that are the uninformed, and they're like, oh my God, I've never seen it. So what was your process, and what does it feel like? How is it different from being gay? When did you realize? What was your transition like? Like, how did all that happen?
Sure. I think one of like my first pieces of self-knowledge I had as a small child was that I was a boy. And people were like, no.
But people understand that's different than feeling gay. It's different than feeling...
Gender orientation and sexual orientation are two very different things.
Right.
Yes. So sexual orientation is to whom you are attracted. And gender identity is like your internal sense of being a, you know, man, a woman, or whatever. I say whatever because, you know, we've opened the door for many gender options beyond the binary, right?
Yeah.
So I just sort of always had this like sense about me, and I'm very similar to the way that I am now throughout childhood. But I, you know, was sort of like forced to like be feminine or, you know, do the
which
things
is
that
very
girls
hard with that
do.
Impressive beard.
Yeah. I'm not just
at 5 in a tutu like I was in.
She was a hairy child, actually.
I was a hairy child. I really was.
Yeah. So like I kind of
dyke. And I'm just saying, didn't look right in a tutu.
Yeah. Well, I did my dyke time as well. Because, like, I was looking for a solution.
Sure.
I was looking for an answer. Like, what is the available form of
masculinity?
Do you
feel like that's almost more acceptable? Oh, okay, I could just be gay is more acceptable or something, right?
Well, I didn't know that being trans was an option until I was 18. So I was like, I think at, like, 12, I was like, I'm a dyke. Get me a football jersey and some cargo shorts and a short haircut, right? Because it was like the closest I could get.
It kind of stuck, though. Short haircut, cargo shorts.
Oh, God. Darling, no.
And then you're like, Jesus.
I'm sexual now. I don't wear cargo shorts.
We're working on that.
Then you're like, Jesus, this smells like high noon at South Street Seaport. Oh, yeah. This is awful, too. What? That was a pussy joke. All right, listen.
I picked it up.
Let's move on.
Okay. So I get to college and I'm like, great. I was out in Oklahoma City. People weren't wild about it. Get to Harvard. I'm like, find a bunch of crunchy dykes. And I'm like, I found my people. And they're like, no, you're different. Are you trans? Mm-hmm. And I go, what the fuck is that?
What's that?
And then
Are we talking about trans fat?
Trans fat?
Transformers?
Yeah. Transmissions? So it takes me a couple of years to like wrap my head around it. And I'm like, oh no, the answer is not that like, I'm a really butch dyke. The answer is that I'm a dude. And I started transitioning. And a thing that is actually rather common amongst trans men is that they start as lesbians and they transition and they end up faggots.
Sure.
Which is what happened to me.
Sure.
And
I feel like you can use that and the rest of us can't, but all right.
Oh,
well, we can use it.
I feel like my mother.
You stay over there, lady.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Stay in your lane.
Exactly.
Stay in your lane, Bull Dyke.
Thanks, Dyke.
Shut up, Knob Gobbler. Go ahead, Zeke.
Oh yeah, no. And so that's I'm writing a book about it. So if you want like the full detailed experience, you're more than welcome to read it. It'll probably come out next year.
Wait, will it come out or will it be outed on Survivor? See what I did there? Because maybe he. Okay.
It worked.
Look, I would love to be outed as a book publisher or a published author on Survivor.
Exactly.
To get that audience again. Man, like when's the next time I'm going to get like 10 million viewers?
Right?
Exactly.
Right? Exactly.
I'll take that press any day.
Everybody hold those thoughts while I refill my Cameron Hughes wine. Travis.
Stephanie.
I just went to a party, and I brought Cameron Hughes rosé and Moscato, and everybody at the party loved it, and I'm like a walking infomercial for Cameron Hughes wine.
I'm going to say you're the most popular girl at the party because you showed up with good wine.
Listen, okay.
And you
can
let it
I just explain? Here, I want to say something shocking. Cameron Hughes was not an advertiser, I would still get my wine at Cameron Hughes. You know why? And I told everybody at the party this. I was trying to explain it to them. I'm like, these are award-winning wines at half the price. What else do you need to say? Period. They are premium wines. Cameron Hughes is a guy. He's a really handsome guy, by the way.
Well, thank God you found
him
Cameron Hughes.
In his, right? Tasting wine. He tastes wine from all over the world. Premium wines. And then he is able to bring it to you I'm telling you, at like half the price. If you love wine as much as I do, you have got to, it's chwine.com/Stephanie. You've got to see what I'm talking about. How does he do it? His secret lies in purchasing direct from boutique wineries, cutting out the middleman. Cam searches for the best wines, bottles them, always keeps his sources secret. My friend Marcia was here. She had some Chardonnay Lot 570, which is fantastic, big, buttery, my favorite. She's like, I can't get that one anymore.
She's like, I need to get, she was saying the same thing to me.
You got
to
hurry. Like, they sell out, and then they get, but there's just different lot names. It's just Cameron Hughes, Lot 557 is the rosé, for instance. I love all of their Chardonnays. I love all of their Pinot Noirs. The guy that owns the show, Trying to Kill Me with Life Insurance Money, tried the Zinfandel they just sent.
He's all in.
Loved it. Mm-hmm. Cameron Hughes wine. All about what's inside the bottle. No fancy labels. It's just high quality wine at prices anybody can afford. You will be blown away. I was. Go to chwine.com/Miller or text my name, Miller, to 511-511. Receive 15% off and free shipping. What? Why are you driving to the wine store or the wherever? You just got a minimum 3-bottle order. You're going to want more than that anyway. Text Miller to 511-511. Receive 15% off and free shipping with your minimum 3-bottle order today. Cameron Hughes Wine. Exceptional value. Exceptional wine. Do it now. chwine.com/Miller. And now back to the show.
But can we just... I've held off so long talking about what a complete fucking asshole Donald Trump is. And you... So many levels. But you talked about the trans ban. I did not even know some of this in this article. One segment of Americans is twice as likely to serve than the general population. Transgender Americans. There's been roughly 150,000 transgender Americans serving in uniform. We serve at nearly twice the rate of the general population. The president of the United States said in a tweet... right, that they will be purged because they're a burden to the nation's military. And he's such a fucking liar. In this tweet, like everything else, he goes, after consulting with my generals. And they had no fucking worldly idea.
No, they were
just fine.
He didn't
consult with anybody.
Right, and they were implementing Obama's repeal of the trans ban. And we're like, good to go and ready to integrate trans people right. like fully into like...
By a 5-time draft dodger fucking bone spur.
Bone spurs.
Sorry, go ahead. Travis tells me to stop swearing so much on the happy hour, but I keep telling
him makes her want to swear and drink.
Fuck yourself, knob gobbler. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I think luckily most of the trans ban has been held up in court, which is to say that, so I guess Obama's policy was that, like, you could be, like, I could go, I mean, I'm too old now, but, like, theoretically, I could go and join the Marines as, like, an openly trans person, or you could be in the military and come out as trans and transition in the military.
Right.
So there are active trans service members or people actively transitioning in the military, and they get to stay.
Yeah.
But now you can't, like, be an openly trans person.
There's a 0.13% increase in military health care spending when he talked about it's too expensive.
Yeah, actually, I think there's the Viagra stat in there that the
right
that like they would pay they currently pay more in giving Viagra to veterans or to active service members than they would pay for trans healthcare.
Right,
but trans
you had a great
like
tweet. You said, "Get angry, get loud, get active, but remember to take a break, recharge, smile every now and again. Rage fatigue is real. Sadness can drown you. Stay healthy and sharp. Happiness can make you better. The fight is long, and we need you." That is what we try to say every day, and it's hard for a lot of us to live up to. You know, I mean, in some ways, I want to say, fuck you, you found him. But in another way, say thank you for being a patriot and continuing to fight. Let's talk about your fantastic... Look who's here.
You just dumped chips all over the table.
Pardon?
You just dumped your chips all over the table.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've overturned my poker chips. Okay. Nick.
Chills.
So, I love this
romantic
couple.
Music.
Nick, a Filipino-American actor.
Nico.
Okay, NBC
Nico.
Series.
Nico.
What?
Nico.
Right, that's what I said. I'm drunk, leave me alone. NBC Series Superstore. I was telling you, there's one degree of Stephanie Miller happy hour separation because Susan Fenniger, super chef, my good friend who did happy hour a few weeks ago, her... nephew Ben lives a stone's throw away, co-star with you in America, Ferrara on the Superstore.
Yes. I love Ben. And I love Susan. She's so great.
I know.
She's so lovely.
I know.
Good food in L.A., right?
So good.
Come
so
on.
Good.
And I love Don't that, say the food sucks in L.A.
That
listen.
Simply Divine event that she hosts every year.
Yeah.
The fundraiser for the LGBT Center.
She does
so awesome.
Fundraising for
everything. She donates her services to everything. She is an activist, a hero. Let's talk about... So you were born in Manila, Philippines.
I was.
Moved when you were 16 to Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm. Gresham, Oregon.
You worked at the Shakespeare Festival, right?
I did also work at the Shakespeare Festival.
I went there for the first time this year with my boyfriend. His
really?
Did you do Ashland?
Yeah.
So I went to
oh my
college.
God, my college crush went... Terry McMahon.
Terry McMahon?
Yes, I dated her brother, but I really had a crush on her.
I know Terry McMahon. She's married to...
Was she so hot?
She's married to David Kelly.
Whatever.
Yeah. No, I don't...
Wait, she's married... I thought Michelle Pfeiffer was.
No, that's David E. Kelly.
Okay. Well, I dated her brother, because you know when you didn't know you were gay yet, I was like, sure, I'll date your brother. And I was like...
Yeah,
oh my God, do you know her?
Yeah,
she was my college best friend.
Best friend.
I went to
as Dykes called it in college. She's straight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
No, I went to college in Ashland.
I was going to ask you. Yeah. You seriously know Terry McMahon? Okay, listen, everybody. You know what? You all fucking leave.
So I went to college.
Oh my God! So hot, dancer.
Oregon,
okay.
And then I studied theater there, and then I got a job at the Shakespeare Festival doing wardrobe, and that's how I met Terry and all the other actors. And all that.
Terry.
I worked there for a few seasons doing wardrobe and
Terry, fucking hot
washing
boy.
People's underwears and
wasn't
fixing,
that hot?
Fixing
washing
their...
people's sweaty costumes and fucking jocks.
But also just like learn to wipe. the least thing you can do.
Think about the washers.
Yeah, exactly.
I swear to God, I had no idea. I thought like, no, that's not the Ashland Fest. You won't know.
Yes, that's where I worked for a few seasons. And then I was like, I'm going to college and working in a small town in Southern Oregon where I am. I'm a gay man
right.
in my 20s.
When did you know?
When did I know I was gay?
You were gay.
Oh, I was like
at
3, 4, 5. Yeah.
At birth, you're like, ew, get me out of this disgusting thing. What is this? Oh, it's a vagina.
I knew pretty early on.
Did you? Do you think some gay men are just... disgusted by the vagina? Do you think that's like that's that early? You're just like, I don't ever want to be back or whatever this is.
I don't think so.
Sorry, that was I just threw that. That was a fastball. Sorry. But your mom.
We were talking about vaginas.
Your mom was very supportive of you as an actor. You said she's not a stereotypic Asian tiger mom.
She's not.
She was very supportive of you
wanting
to be an actor.
Yeah, she was just really like, she just wanted me to be happy. She's like, whatever you want to do, I support. Just be happy.
That's a fantastic impression. Do some more.
She's like, I love it. You can be a comedian. It's fine. Just one day, buy me a house in the Hollywood Hills.
Nico.
She has no concept of how Hollywood works. She thinks, like, the first job I booked, she's like, oh, you must have gotten paid $50,000. Like, for one scene in Mall Cop 2? That's not how this works, Mom.
And do you know how much a house costs in the Hollywood Hills?
Yeah. I'm like,
it's
all
not
this,
Southern Oregon.
All this means is that you don't have to pay my cell phone bill anymore. That's all this means. And I can pay rent for this month.
No, I heard that she works at Home Depot and she's always emailing you with story ideas.
She works at Home Depot. She loves her job. She works the morning shift. She's at work at 5 o'clock in the morning. And
she's
so,
on her hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's We're like, morning radio talk people, so.
Yeah. She's like, I like my job because I start at 5. I leave at 2. I still have time for my errands. It's very nice.
Your what?
My errands.
Mm-hmm.
Errands.
Okay.
You know, to do my errands. Yes.
But she'll always
you said
email
she, you
me.
Love, she loves visiting me on set. I think if I was a child actor, she would totally have been a stage Toddlers and Tiaras.
Absolutely.
She would have been that mom.
Absolutely. Like, when I first started doing comedy, she was kind of just, like, super supportive. But now she's, like, she reads Variety and Deadline. She's like, oh, that pilot was very good. I don't think it'll get picked up to serious, though. They didn't have very good ratings.
No, she does, like, I had a general with so-and-so.
Yeah.
That's what you talk like, our logo friend back there. I had a general. I'm like, okay, no one else talks like that in America. You in a general meeting, but you just say a general because you're a fucking Hollywood executive. Okay.
Maybe you should sign up with a UTA. I'm like, yes, Mom, I would love to be with UTA, but just whatever.
Why not?
Why not?
I love that you said you basically modeled Mateo after the shady queens I used to work with in retail. So they originally were casting you said Mateo, he was not written as a gay Filipino character. He was written as a straight Latino macho kind of character. I played it like a shady queen. And they just went, oh, that. That we works. Want that. Yeah. We want that. We don't want it, but we want that. Right.
Yeah, it was really great because the pilot for Superstore, none of the roles had any specific
ethnicity.
I've had a lot of.
He's the sober one, by the way.
There's
right
a lot of I can say ethnicity.
There was no specific races.
It's colorblind casting.
Yes, attached to all of the roles except for Mateo's role that was specified as a Latino guy who was like straight
for
and like
fucking
macho,
grabbing your power, motherfucker. Well, I'm like, no, you know what? It's a shady queen.
I can't. I mean, like, I can only play Butch to a certain degree. And I was like, there was no way I was going to be able to play this.
What were the shady queens you worked with in retail, and how did you model it?
Oh, my God. I mean, like, not only were there shady queens that I worked with, but also, like, the older Japanese women. They were just sharks. I just worked with a lot of sharks on the sales floor, and it was a free-for-all because everybody had to meet their quota. And if you missed your quota, you got fired. So people were, like, hiding merchandise in the back or, like, would be, like, telling customers, like, I have this this like bag that's really hard to get, like this new Chloe bag that's really hard to get, but like I have it, so you have to buy it from me. Nico doesn't have it. I'm like, bitch, what is he doing? That is my client.
Bitch, please.
Yeah. People would just be stealing clients left and right, hiding merchandise,
right,
fighting in front of the clients, like that's my client. I was helping them before you started helping them. I'm like, yeah, but you ignored them for an hour, and now that they're spending $15,000 to me all of a sudden,
yeah.
Oh, that was my client.
So yeah, now, were you intimidated? Because you said you were a fan of America Ferrera, and who isn't? I saw her. I'm a fan as an activist. I saw her speak, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, she's...
She's incredible.
That must be... Were you intimidated? How was it? I mean...
I was very intimidated. Superstore was my fifth acting job. So I was just doing stand-up comedy before I started acting, and I had been booking these smaller roles, but, like,
right,
Superstore was the biggest role I ever booked, and, you know, I just didn't want to fuck it up. I was, like,
yeah,
it was totally, like, Drag Race. Like, don't fuck it up.
That was your whole, like, oh, that just was, in your, like, yes, don't fuck it up, don't
exactly
fuck it up, don't fuck it up.
You've got a bigger role now with Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazy Rich Asians is supposed to be the movie of the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to be the girls' trip of the summer.
Very excited about that movie.
Asian man girl trip. Oh, my God.
The first Hollywood movie with an all-Asian cast in 25 years.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Where no one kicks anyone in the head, I'm guessing?
Or do they? There's nobody's doing kung fu.
There's none of the...
It's a Crouch Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Hang on. We have a really racist thing.
Yeah. There you go. There's none of that in this movie. Nobody does kung fu. It's not a period piece.
There's no Chans, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Chan free.
No. No. It's great. It's just like your classic epic romantic comedy, and it just happens to have all Asian.
When
people.
Does it come out?
August 15th.
Oh my god.
It's gonna be good, you guys.
Oh my god.
So good.
I had some friends at dinner that I told them we were booking you in here, and they were like, it's Oliver?
Oliver.
I'm like one of them had read the books, and he's like, yeah, I've read all the books. He was very excited.
I'm really excited. In the first, hopefully we get to do two more movies.
Yeah, the other two books, right?
One. Yeah. So we'll see.
You also were on Chelsea Lately.
I used to do Chelsea Lately. Yeah.
Yeah, we've had Jen Kirkman, Ben Glebe, everybody. That's
Ross
been
Matthews,
on.
Fortune
yeah
Feimster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love all of those people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys, it's interesting. I mean, and you too, Zeke. Isn't it interesting how, I don't know whether it's Trump, there are so many actors that are incredibly smart, funny activists that have been blending this for a while. And do you feel like it's just because of what we're up against? I mean, it's just because I feel like I don't know what to say to your generation. I'm like, I thought we were home free, man, after Obama. And now we're like regressing, anti-gay, anti-trans, anti-immigrant,
anti-right,
just racist, sexist, homophobic.
I mean, never really thought we'd be in this position. Like, when I moved to the United States, I was just so hopeful for, like, starting a better life. And you know, because I grew up in the Philippines. The Marcoses had just been toppled, you know, from the regime. And
thank you for getting the shoe joke.
Yeah. I fully get it.
Shit, a lot of shoes.
I fully get it.
A lot of gay men would like shoes.
And you know, and like the Philippine government is not perfect, especially right now.
But Trump's a fan.
Yes.
Of course Trump's a fan.
Drug dealers, right?
Of course Trump is a fan. But you know, I was really, I really thought that I was leaving that kind of unstable government behind. And then I moved here and things seemed to be going great, even though we had like Bush in office and all that stuff, and then Obama was in office. Yes. We were like, yay! And then this happened. I was like, oh my God.
Shit.
I could always go back to the Philippines, and then I was like, no, I can't!
Not an option.
Not an option. Not an option. I'm stuck.
But isn't that, I mean, just not, you know, Democrat, Republican, that people are fleeing here for asylum, and we're putting babies in jail with no plan how to have them find their parents again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I mean,
it's really, I saw a thread on Twitter recently that really compared what Trump is doing to what Ferdinand Marcos was doing in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it is really eerily scary that this is how
my dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. This is how fascism starts where you just go, oh no, that's okay, those are those brown people we don't care about. I mean, but it's it's just, it's such a terrifying time, isn't it? I mean, and thank you guys, because you really are like such sort of fierce activists. But I have to ask you, because I'm, as I've mentioned, 1,000 years older, but don't you feel like, I mean, is your generation sort of imbued with that more to sort of sense of urgency? Because you're like, oh, shit, look like what we're up against now.
Well, it's we also thought like we were all going to be the environment. A lot of stuff is being broken.
Everything. Yeah. But I mean, the fact that Trump would just in a tweet go, no trans troops. You're like, what? I mean, half the shit he does is just not constitutional. It's not legal.
I think that, you know, I remember my dad and I were talking about an article we saw on the Nate Silver's website during the election about how Bernie won the Oklahoma Democratic primary.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, by leaps and bounds, and had a lot of, like, red voters voting for Bernie, but how a lot of the Bernie voters were going to vote for Trump. And I because it's not that they, like, any particular policy they were leaning towards, like, they were interested in disruption. I think we hear disruption talked a lot about in Silicon Valley.
That's what Russia was interested in, too.
Yeah. But I think that's more
NP.
Like... But I think, you know, during the Obama years, like, all Congress did was say no. Like, nobody got anything done. And I think there is, I mean, yes, I think it's true. Like, there is this, like, embedded racism in our country that is, like, rearing its head in this ugly way. But I think more people are tired of the way that, like, politics works, and were frustrated and wanted to send someone to go, like, fuck it up. I just don't think anybody thought he was going to fuck it up the way he did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, I think.
Oh, I did.
I mean, sure.
Russia did.
I think a lot of people who voted for him, this is not what they thought they were getting.
Yeah.
I, however, religiously watched The Celebrity Apprentice, so I knew exactly what we were getting.
I swear to God, I feel like celebrity, you know, reality show people like Zeke Smith from Survivor fucking saw this coming before the rest of us, because you're going, he's a reality show guy.
Yeah.
It's all about chaos and what's going to hold you till the next commercial break. It's not about, this is not about governing. He has no fucking idea what he's doing. It's like, what might get clicks with my base? Oh, we hate trans people? Great.
Yeah.
We hate gays? Great.
He just, he has, right? I think, like, probably no one in the world, like, I mean, no one in the world loathes themselves as much as Donald Trump does.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck people want. And, like, the hatred almost feeds him.
Yeah.
Right? It's like he wants to go, like, antagonize people.
I feel like a reality show moment between Donald Trump and Zeke Smith could save this world, don't you think? I feel like what he just said can make Donald Trump break down into tears.
Say, you know,
Trump would, like, ask what the ratings were going to be.
Yeah.
Right? He'd just be like, I get it. You just want to be loved, right?
Yeah.
You just...
Your father didn't love you.
Right.
And you never just, learned to set and love yourself.
Right?
You guys are going to have, like,
can you just,
a goodwill
will it make you
moment.
Feel better to admit that you are a traitor?
I am a traitor.
Thank you, Zeke Smith, American patriot. Thank you.
You know, we've got the Mark Burnett connection. Maybe I,
right?
maybe I can work it.
Tears.
Get those
cut commercial.
Tapes.
Okay, I quit.
I.
You know what? I fire myself.
You're fired.
I don't. Okay. You're right, Zeke. Zeke, you can save America. Do you understand that? You and your fantastic boyfriend, Nico, you can save America. Do you understand that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, great. Yeah, totally. I'll save America.
That's a big job.
Okay. Yeah.
Big job.
You're on high.
You could tell
right
Ivanka. You could tell Ivanka her shoes are all wrong. Distract her while Zeke goes to Donald Trump and gets him to break down into tears. You're right.
You could be like, Melania, I love your coat.
No, that's not true. No one does.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody, watch Zeke Smith. Follow him on Twitter. Follow Nico on his fantastic series,
and
Superstore.
Twitter. On Twitter and Instagram.
NBC. Yeah. But how do we tell us everything? Tell us everything, how we worship you and follow you and stalk you.
Oh, yeah. For me, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, yes, at ZekerChief, which is Zeke R. Chief. And then look out for my book, Rascal, which will be coming out next year.
Which you won't tell us anything about, fucking teasy little minx.
I've told you all about it.
Whatever. I don't feel like I got the good chapters. Shit. You're going to come back.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Nico Santos. Superstore will be returning this fall. And Crazy Rich Asians will be coming out August 15th.
This has been fantastic. Thank you for not treating me as like the cast of Cocoon. I love you guys.
I love you.
Happy fucking happy hour!
Yes.
Cheers.
Yeah.